Thank you, brother. Hello, my name is Pastor Tom. I'm one of the pastors in Billy Campus. It's great to be here. I know it's wet and cold, but it's nice and warm, at least, besides the bed. Let's bow our heads as I will, preach on 1 Peter chapter 5. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you. It's a privilege that we're able to come here as a church to worship together, to worship you. As we read your words, I pray that these words bind our hearts as we live out the day-to-day life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As a child, when I was around the age 12, 13 years old, I had many hobbies, but one of the hobbies that I really liked was breeding birds, especially budgies. I would know when the birds are a couple and has the potential for breeding. I knew when the first egg was laid. It would take another 2 days before the next egg would be laid. And then it would take about 24 to 28 days before it hatches. I will also look into recessive and dominant genes of the colours of the bird. So example, the green and the yellow budgies are the most dominant colours. And the most recessive are the white. So I knew all about that. I knew trying to breed different colours of budgies. But when I first started, I wasn't the best bird keeper. I would take my birds outside to give them some sunlight, which was kept indoors. And one hot day, I left them out too long, and half my birds died. They had dehydrated and literally got sunburnt. And that time, a cat had got one of them because I found one bird missing and the cage was knocked down. See, I wasn't always the best bird keeper. But in today's passage, Peter wants the leaders of the church to care and watch over God's flock. Be the best shepherd we can be. But when we first read this passage, most people think it only relates to elders. So that means everyone can switch off. So I can have a one-on-one with Elder Ming. But that's not true. So in this passage, it seems when it says elders, it also means about talking older people. But it can also be talking about church leaders. In the Jewish communities, leaders were called elders in the Old Testament and New Testament times. So this passage is not talking about the age of someone when the word elder is used. When Peter used the word elder, he's talking about the people who are spiritually mature or to the leaders of the church. And also the passage applies to many of us today. A father can be a shepherd of the family. A Sunday school teacher can be a shepherd to the kids. A music leader can be a shepherd to the band. A friend can shepherd other friends who are in need. So this passage does relate to us and shows us how we care for God's flock as a church. Furthermore, this passage also applies to everyone who seeks to grow in the spiritual walk with Christ. And this should be everyone who is a child of God, as we all should work on our sanctification, our progress sanctification, to be like Christ in our daily Christian walk. So what does it take to be a leader for God's people? And when I say a leader, it doesn't mean just a Bible study leader. But a good gauge is to look at Titus chapter 1 and also 1 Timothy chapter 3. As it looks at the character of an elder, which I have placed the Titus verse in the outline for you to have a look at later on. But the Titus passage talks about a leader who's above reproach. Not arrogant, quick-tempered, nor drunk. And of course, to give instructions which are sound doctrine. So being a leader for God's people is not about being a great talker and charming people, nor is it about being a good at leading workshops or Bible studies. It isn't even about being able to motivate others to do things, to serve. Being a leader of God's people is about being able to teach, being blameless in one's character's walk, and being holy. And some of the best leaders which are known are the ones who let their actions do all their talking. These are the people who are steadfast, who have been tested, and able to show great humility in their personal walk. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, it says, I appear as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glories to be revealed. In this verse, Peter tells the leaders regarding his position as a fellow elder. But if you knew who Peter was, he does look pretty impressive in the eyes of a Christian. Peter was not just a leader, but also one of the apostles, in fact, handpicked by Jesus. Jesus had called him out to follow him. And that's in Mark chapter 1 and chapter 3. He was an apostle who was one of the original leaders of the church in Jerusalem. And you can read that in Acts, book of Acts. He was an apostle and the founder of the church in Rome. And that's today's Vatican City. Peter says he personally witnessed the suffering of Christ. Peter will have seen at least part of Christ's suffering. And you can read that in 1 Corinthians. So with that status, he could demand respect as he's been around. He has authority, and is the leader of all the churches. But we can see Peter. I want to point out that he's just another older man, called to be leaders of God's flock, just like them. He's just another leader. Peter is showing humility as a leader and his character, which Peter encourages in the elder in verse 5 and 6, to be humble and hate the proud. Peter tells them about the glory to come in order to encourage his readers. Peter is telling the leaders, I know right now you are facing hardship and he's suffering because of the outside world. He's able to read that Peter encourages them to do good when facing injustice in chapter 2. And also in chapter 2, Peter encourages them to do good when they have to submit to their masters, facing their authorities as they live for God. And in chapter 4, Peter encourages the Christians not to join the world in their rituals, in reckless and wild living, because that was their past, and now they need to live according to the will of God. Peter tells them, as an apostle, he himself has been knocked around as well. He has faced suffering because of the pagan world. Peter is saying to the leaders, he's no different too. He is the same as them, as the leaders of the church. So as they suffer for their faith now, they shouldn't forget what's waiting for them in the future is the sharing of the glory. Peter encouraged them to keep on going and to look to the future. Christ has promised to all to whom who follows him that the inheritance will never perish, spoil, or fade. And that was mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I will explain more about the crown of glory later in my sermon. And for us today, we are all to be shepherds too. we need to follow the example of Jesus, just as Peter did, because Jesus is the chief shepherd. And with this, Peter turns three important points, which is mentioned in verse 2 and 3. It talks about being a shepherd of God's flock. In the next couple of verses, we first need to look at what it means to be a shepherd of God's flock. And this metaphor has been used in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Like in Psalm 23, Isaiah 40, Ezekiel 34, which was read out by Phil. And also in the New Testament, in John chapter 21, Hebrews 30. What does this involve? It is literally being a shepherd in the field. So the first thing we read is the shepherd cares for the flock. Because sheep will wander off as they follow each other. Sheep has a really bad sense of direction. Sheep need someone to help them to find food so they can feed on green grass. A shepherd is also required to help the sheep. When they get their legs trapped or stuck between rocks or tangled in thorn bushes. Besides that, the shepherd also needs to watch over them as the sheep needs to be cared for. The shepherd needs to protect them from danger, like predators from the wild. So when we tend to think about shepherds, we have a view of someone with shaggy clothes, maybe someone wearing a hoodie, or carrying a small bag, or a staff, or a crook, which Eddie had. And the shepherd uses the crook to pull the wandering sheep, or to help it untangle its legs when the sheep is stuck. And the crook was also used to lift the sheep out of the water when they stray too far. So the crook is used by the shepherd is to guide and help the sheep when they get stuck. But the shepherd also carries a rod in the other hand. You can read this in Psalm chapter 23, which David wrote. The rod is much harder and tougher than the crook. So the shepherd seems to have two walking sticks. But the rod has another purpose. The rod is to use to smack and hit things. And no, it's not hitting the sheep, but wild animals who are waiting for the lost sheep for a meal. And in the wild, many animals might attack the sheep, like wolves, bears, and lions, because the sheep is an easy target. And if you read 1 Samuel chapter 17, David tells Saul he had to kill lions and bears. Let me read out the passage from verse 34. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lions and the bears." And you ask, how can it be possible? Well, David used his rod, which he carried with him, because he did not have a gun in that time. So he had to use his rod to kill a bear and a lion. So hopefully now we have a better understanding of a shepherd during the ancient times. It's not an easy job, as you may think it'd be pretty boring to be a shepherd. Because on one hand, the shepherd has to carry a crook to care and direct the sheep. But on the other hand, the shepherd carries a rod to defend and protect the sheep. No wonder in David says in Psalm 23, he wrote at the end of verse 4, saying to God, "Your rod and staff, they comfort me." The Psalms talk about a shepherd who will go between you and its enemy. A shepherd who will help when you are stuck and even care for your wounds. a shepherd who will lead you to places where you won't go hungry. Personally, don't you want someone to look after you like that? You feel pretty secure and loved knowing someone's always looking after you. It's like Aiden, who knows that Warren and QFA is always there for him. Well, as a leader and a shepherd of God's church, we also need to be caring and watchful. Always alert to protect the flock. And this is what a shepherd of God looks like in verse 2. But this is not always the case. Hence why Peter raises the danger of being a leader. And Peter gives us three things to watch over. Three things. And I can give you personal stories about how real it can be in day-to-day life. And also using the passage in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1 to 11. Because the prophet talks about the shepherd of Israel who were not taking care of God's flock during that time. Firstly, Peter tells the leaders of the church to not lead by duty or out of force. They should be willing to lead others. It's like not being half-hearted, but having a real desire to serve others as God's church. Because we all know when time is hard, when times is tough, when we're tired, we can become disgruntled. When I was in a short-term mission in Cambodia, one thing the team saw that there were many, many children. I mean, the ratio between children and adults was like 1 to 6, something like that. Basically, kids were just everywhere. And it was good for missionaries to lay their foundation, gospel foundation, for the future generation in Cambodia. So the long-term missionaries were eager to work with the Cambodian children. The missionaries were passionate in the ministry for the children. They really love and care for God's children. They worked tirelessly in schools, and after school care, when the parents go to work, and in Sunday school. And if the Cambodian missionaries only view their ministry as short term, they'll get burnt out. Because looking after children is hard. I have two of them. It's really hard. It's energy sapping. So serving children or people, we can't be half-hearted. You have to really care for them and put them first as a shepherd feeds the flock. And if we looked at Ezekiel chapter 34, in verse 2, it says, "Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only takes care of yourself. Should not shepherds take care of the flock?" So are we looking after the flocks, which belongs to God? What is your real motivation for caring for the flock? Are you determined to care for God's flock and see the importance of it? Which means putting them first all the time. Secondly, Peter tells the leaders of the church not to pursue a dishonest gain. As was spoken in the past sermon, some leaders would take advantage of members by staying too long in the house. But they are to serve with eagerness and willingness. But the first thing that comes in mind is being deceitful with the church finances. And I still remember where I served in South Africa in the slums. And the things that stood out was this massive building. And I was talking about the tallest building in the area. And I was told it was a church. It wasn't a shopping center, it was a church. And it looked big and very nice. So I guess the church was getting the financial supports from overseas, which it can happen, it does happen. But I was told, in fact, the local people have raised the funds, which was very surprising to me, as I knew people in this area were mostly unemployed. people only ate one meal a day. People couldn't even afford education for the children. How you might wonder, how does the local people donate so much to this church? So if you are sick, you will be told by the elders and the leaders of the church that you are sick because you're not giving enough to the offering. You're not giving enough to God. Or you don't receive any blessing from God, like getting a job, because you don't have enough faith in Him. And you are holding your money back, so you have to give to the church. And this shows that you are willing to put your faith in God, as He will provide you a job. And I'm serious about these stories. And the last thing is the pastors and the elders are driving nice cars, but the church members are starving. We can see there are people who use God's name to pursue a dishonest gain. And this is happening during the Ezekiel and even in the New Testament times. Because having cattle or sheep is money. It's economy. The way to judge a healthy and wealthy person is having a large flock. How large the herd is. The more you have, the more you can trade with, barter with, and gain. But God doesn't look at people this way. It's the opposite. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 3, you, as the shepherds, eat the curds, close yourself with the wolves, and slaughter the choice animals. But you do not take care of the flock. So as shepherds, what motivates us should not be greed. Because that's some people of the outside world might do. Using other people to benefit themselves. But we are told by Peter, this is not God's way. And the proper attitude is eagerness to give and not the desire to gain. The next one, which is the last warning, is for church leaders not to lording over or dominating over the flock. Or in other words, not to bully people. Not to demean people and misusing authority to get one way. And the church that comes to mind is Mars Hill's Church in America. The senior pastor was accused of being bullied or being a bully and was using people. He used people who trusted him and abused his power over them. Whether they were true or not, we can see the impact of the church. And that's God's church. And it's a warning to the leaders of the church. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 4, you have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound out the injuries. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So as leaders, we need to show proper respect with each other, not like the outside world. Jesus has said the rulers of the Gentile world rules by exercising authority over them, because they can. Especially in Peter's time, there was a very strong hierarchy. For example, the Roman Emperor Nero, he was power hunger and would stop anything or anyone taking his spot. And this includes his three sons, which he killed, and his wife. But what does Jesus say in Mark chapter 10, verse 43? Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. The thing is, these examples and stories, which I have given you today, are all overseas, if you haven't noticed. But leaders misusing their authority does happen in Australia. It does happen. And if you've been long enough in ministry, you might have heard stories like that. It doesn't matter where you are. And it can be pretty personal as well. It cuts you deep. And today some of us might have experienced this. Being burned by it. Or burned by someone. A leader that you once trust. Who had taught you the Bible. It's no longer a leader. He doesn't even go to church anymore. Maybe a friend who used to go to church with together every Sunday. He's now no longer goes to church at all. And today, your wounds may not have healed yet. It really scares you. But in the next verse, we are reminded of the chief shepherd, the ultimate shepherd. So if you don't know who the chief shepherd is, it's Jesus Christ. And what he brings back is this unfailing crown of glory to the ones who are shepherding his flock. It's a crown of glory which will be given to the faithful ones. And we need to remember, back in the Greco-Roman times, a crown was usually worn or given to people who have superior rankings, or people who were so important figures in the eyes of the public. It could be also someone who won a fair carnival or competition. Basically, a crown was given to those who served the Roman state. I'm not sure if any of you guys have seen the crown jewels. I'm talking about the crown jewels of England, the Queen's crown jewels, or the one in Denmark. Well, I've seen the one in Denmark, the crown jewels of Denmark. And I'm going to tell you something. You notice there's a lot of security guards screening you, screening your bags. And even you enter the building, you're watching it, there's people watching you, that you're watching the crown jewels. And the first thing comes to mind was, wow, it's a lot of different colored stones and pearls and everything. And then the second thing I was thinking of, how much would it cost? And then, of course, I don't know, it's not for sale, so yeah. Well, during Peter's times, as he wrote this passage, his readers wouldn't be thinking about a crown with stones and pearls. Most likely a crown with flowers and red blossoms, which looks very pretty. But the crown which Peter was talking about was better than that, the normal crown, which was given by the Roman state. Peter was talking about the crown of glory. A victory crown, which is unfading and has an everlasting glory. Not like the crowns of flowers, which will fade and wither. Because God's glory is everlasting. It's forever eternal. And this glory is to be with God in heaven. It's to be with God in heaven forever and ever. And you know what? That's the imagery that we should all stay focused on. Because the hurt, the wound, being let down by others in church and in this world will be replaced by the promise of the crown of glory. And you will receive the crown of glory when the chief shepherd appears. So at the beginning of the sermon, I have mentioned that this passage applies to all of us. Whether we are parents, teachers, leaders in any forms, or just a friend looking after another brother and sister in Christ, we need to take responsibility for caring for each other, being watchful over each other. Because it's so easy for us to make excuses not caring for others. as we don't have the formal title of a leader. But it can be done. It can be done. After service, we have morning tea. Why don't we spend some time talking to a sister or brother? See how they are going and pray with them. Just pray with them. We all have the responsibility as members of God's church. Another thing, we are all united and we're all part of the body of God's church. We should be looking after each other, caring for each other, and even watching over God's children as one church. So we shouldn't make excuse thinking this passage doesn't apply to us at all. And yes, having responsibility is hard. It's not easy. Especially taking care and being watchful to another person, like a shepherd overseeing a flock. But this really goes back to loving God's flock. Loving each other. Serving each other. Putting others before yourself. Going back to Ezekiel chapter 34, we are reminded God was displeased with the shepherds back then because they loved themselves more than loving God's sheep. They care more about their wealth, pleasures of this world, than God's sheep. The leaders abused their power and authority and took advantage of the sheep so they can desire their own flesh, own desires, to look impressive, feeling good because they can control others instead of feeling God's sheep. So the thing I'd like us to reflect on is this. Why do we serve a church? Why do we serve a church? Is it because we have to? Is it self-glory? Is it because we want to be accepted by others? Or is it we can get our way and don't need to accept authority in ministry? Or is it in fact work-based salvation? Where do we put loving God's flock as we serve? Secondly, the story I had told you today, it's not to scare you. But we need to remember it's not always going to be easy. And some days it will be hard work. Look, I've never been a farmer. But when I was a young boy, I had a school friend. His dad was a farmer. And my school friend had to go to the farm every school holidays. He told me about the things he had to do at the farm. And one thing he had to do was keeping his dad's farm safe from wild pigs and from kangaroos, as the roos can eat all the crops and damage the grounds. So I bet being a shepherd in the ancient time wasn't easy either. And I bet shepherding is hard work when the sheep doesn't want to listen. Shepherding can be painful when the sheep is lost and doesn't respond back to your call. Shepherding can be lonely as you have to fight off a predator by yourself. And it's no different today as we're called to shepherd God's flock. Temptation, the desires of the world, the trials that people face, people running away from the faith. It's not easy, it's hard. And sometimes looking after God's flock can be emotional draining, physical draining, mentally draining. But this is the thing we need to remember. We are called to be shepherds, and we're not alone. Jesus is our chief shepherd who we can turn to all the time. And this is the passage I always turn to. And hopefully it will be yours today. He told us he will never leave us. So we are to remember this and to turn to him in our moments of despair. we are to come before the Lord and not to lean on our own strength or power or even rely on our own understanding. And that's in Psalm 3. Because it's the power of God that we need to put our faith on. And you know what? The sheep which doesn't listen might come and listen to you one day. The sheep which was lost may come back within your arms one day. And the predator that you might have to face alone runs off because in the distance another shepherd comes to your need. And this is when we should praise and give thanks to God. And today we are reminded above the everlasting crown that is shepherding of God's flock. We will receive it from the chief shepherd, and this glory will never fade. So let's pray. Father in heaven, you are the great shepherd that always looking after us. You fear us. You protect us. You guide us. So let us do the same with others in the church. Amen.